The passage today is Luke chapter 21, verses 5 to 38. And while some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time is at hand.' Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas, for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be great distress upon the earth, and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword, and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity, because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." And every day he was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and lodged on the mount called Olivet. And early in the morning, all people came to him in the temple to hear him.
Thank you, Lisa, for that reading. Hey guys, I'm glad to be with you this afternoon. My name is Tom. I look after our ministry to students here at Euston Church. If I haven't met you before and you're a new student, please come and say hi to me after the service. I'd really love to get to know you. A few people have come straight from the weekend away with the Wednesday midweek groups to church. We must be really tired. I saw some people came, ran straight in, got off the bus, put on red Euston hoodies and started doing welcoming immediately. So thank you very much, guys, for helping us out with that. Today we're going to be looking at a part of the Gospel of Luke that I think is very much a word that we need for the times that we are currently in. Times of turmoil in the world, times of sadness in personal lives. For many of us, we bring pain and frustration with us to church today. Whether it is personal sadness that has touched our church family recently, or the situation in Ukraine, or the flooding in my home of Australia, or when a masked gunman was shooting homeless people while they slept in New York, civilians being killed by militants in Mali, a gas explosion in Mexico, an earthquake in Japan, tensions on an international level between countries playing a dangerous game of chicken. And that was all just this week, right? There's a lot going on in the world at the moment. And that makes me think that maybe we should start our time together now by praying. Please bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray now that as we hear of how relevant it is to our lives, that you would help us to understand, that you would form us into the likeness of your Son, and that we could look to him in his glory when he returns. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now today in our passage, we find that Jesus knew and had told us that this would be the way of the world, that there would be a time of turmoil in the world between Jesus' departure and his return, especially for those who would follow Christ. In the temple, Jesus is teaching and describing to those who are listening an event which to them would have seemed unthinkable at the time. Something that could never have possibly happened, something that wouldn't happen. The idea of the destruction of the temple made Jesus incredibly unpopular, precisely because of the impact it would have on the religion of the people. The temple is where they came to meet God, to worship him, to atone for their sins. Yet Jesus looks around at the great stones of the temple and says, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." Now, to give us an idea of what's going on here, the size of the structure that we're talking about. Imagine if right now someone kind of ran up the front here, they stood here and they said, this whole of Christ the King, this building that we're in right now, it's going to be brought to the ground. There's not going to be one stone left on top of another. I mean, in another part of the Gospels, Jesus claims that he himself is going to bring down the temple. Maybe we'd believe that if our service leader, Pete Mox, said he was going to do that to Christ the King. But I think for the most part, most of us would struggle to believe that, something so huge, let alone if something like the fabric of our very faith was to be overturned. You see, their world, the people who were listening to Jesus here, was to be turned upside down. The judgment on the teachers of the law he has been addressing and criticizing for the past chapter will come, and it will be fierce on the religious establishment. Luke, in his aim of providing certainty, seeks to make us certain of the failures of the teachers of the law. As he recounts Jesus' prediction of the judgment on the temple, you know they were wrong because they will be judged by God. Now, as we read on, the news doesn't get much better, for turmoil in the world is coming, and with it are false teachers. Teachers who will use the events for their own means and pointing to an end for their own motives, claiming a new understanding, a new way to salvation, a new means of surviving the calamity that is to come. And they must be resisted. People would come to interpret the destruction of the temple in a lot of different ways, and the turmoil which was to come after that would be the same. That there will always be new teachers with a new teaching trying to tell us what all these things that are happening in the world mean, but they too must be resisted. Jesus is the teacher outlining for us, his listeners, exactly how it's going to be. And we don't need more than that. Those who would come along and attempt to lead saying otherwise are to be dismissed. We have the truth already from Jesus, and so do not go after them for your comfort. Do not follow man to save you. Follow the Lord. Follow Jesus. We have everything we need for our comfort in the world. All things are in his control because he knows that they are coming. Even when you hear of wars and tumults, because you will hear of them, he says. Verse 10, then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. there will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. Now, the situation that will be faced, that we now face in the world and have been explicitly reminded of recently, is exactly what Jesus said was going to happen. Now, for a long time, it's felt for the Western world and for Western Christians in particular, like the time of wars and the time of persecution is over. But all the while, they have been happening. Kingdoms have clashed with kingdoms in this world. All the while, the fabric of the earth as it groans in creation continues to tear itself apart, often killing or destroying livelihoods. Famines in this world have given way to floods that have given way to disease that gives way to famine again. But we are so sleepy to these issues in London as we go about our lives each day frustrated by the smallest inconveniences. Yet when for the first time we experience real threats, well, the fear sets in. And COVID's been one of these moments, right? It's been one of the first times that we've ever experienced real fear like that, real suffering, uncertainty. Many of us have never experienced anything like that before. The idea of nuclear threat from Russia, something that was so normal for our parents' generation, terrifies us as it raises up its ugly head again. And for followers of Jesus, the turmoil would be even more personal. First, for the disciples who would be cast out of the places of worship and brought before the authorities, even by those who they trust and love. Friends, we should never be surprised when Christians face this in the world. Christianity in the West has been, from the perspective of persecution, on easy mode for a long time. Meanwhile, all over the world, Christians have faced death and torment. You know, at this point in a sermon like this, it's pretty normal to bring up a famous martyr of some kind. Someone who has did some great act of martyrdom that we can all kind of look to for encouragement. But the reality is, the martyrs of the past 50, 100 years, they're men and women and children who we may never know who they were. We may never know their names as they went about their lives and one day got a knock on the door. All over the world, Christians have been facing death and torment for their faith. Do we believe that our time will come and that it will be for Jesus' name's sake, that it will be because of Jesus that we face things? Do we believe that that will happen? Because for the original readers of Luke, this would have been an all too real experience. When the armies of Rome would surround the city of Jerusalem, these verses would have seemed mild when compared to the reality of what actually occurred when Jerusalem was sacked. I was going to read an account from the Jewish historian Josephus from 70 AD about the attack. But I actually just decided it was too graphic what had occurred. The temple destroyed, people slain, Gentiles once again destroy God's temple as he judges his people for their failure to follow him as the times of the Gentiles begins. And this is the time when all that Jesus is talking about will happen. A time of great conflict, of continued pain and suffering in the world, persecution at the hands of friends. For us who now live in this time, the challenge is to live in a way such as Jesus has called us to, and he helps us with this in his word. When talking about the wars and the turmoils to come, when talking about the persecution that comes for those who are his followers, in verse 13, Jesus says this: "This will be your opportunity to bear witness." That to live in the time of the Gentiles, to live in the time of waiting for Jesus' return, it looks like being an open disciple of him. That people would know you are his follower and that you would use it as an opportunity to bear witness about him. The time of the Gentile is the time of Gentile conversion, of discipleship, of witness. that in this time we don't need to worry about fancy arguments or being bold. I know as students we spend so much of our time, right, trying to find that golden bullet for evangelism. If I just kind of think of this particular interesting story, or if I use this particular apparatus or this particular leaflet, then that will be the task. That will be what achieves it. And they're not bad things. But instead, Jesus calls us to be bold. Verse 14, settle it therefore in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. We have Jesus' word, and that is enough to answer the adversaries of the world. That in the face of persecution, we are armed with his spirit and with his word, and that equips us completely. The word of God will stand true. It will remain. It may result in your death, but verse 18, not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. Those who are in Christ, who are faithful to him, they cannot be truly harmed, only physically, because their inheritance is in more than that. Their protection is based on eternity and not on the physical world as it falls down around us. As the temple is judged, as those who contradict Jesus are judged by God, Luke gives his readers certainty that they are with the truth. Because the time of the Gentiles, it will end. There's always a bigger fish. It's a fairly famous quote, but I particularly remember it from the first Star Wars movie, The Phantom Menace. This is a phrase that became very true to me when I started working out at the gym. There's always a bigger fish. There'll always be a guy who picks up the weight that I was working with and uses it for his warm-up. Well, there's always a bigger king. And this to come is the biggest king. The time of turmoil will come to an end. And this will begin to, and this world will begin to pass away because the one who rules will return. When the fabric of the physical world as we see it will no longer be our reality as we see him, the Son of Man, coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now the Son of Man is a figure that we see in Daniel chapter 7 in the Old Testament. And in the context of Daniel, he is the eternal king who will come to dispense with the great empires of the world, dispense with all kings who seek to establish themselves over the world and set themselves up in the position that belongs to him. This king, who is given his authority by the Ancient of Days, will cast them aside and establish his eternal kingdom that will have no end. Like our passage today, Daniel tells us that there will be a time of suffering and persecution in the meantime, calling on God's people to endure. It points to the hope that Jesus points to today. You see, Jesus is taking these images from Daniel 7 as he captures the image of the Son of Man to explain who he is and what is going to happen. Because Jesus is talking about his return. When he will come to cast aside the kingdoms of this world at the end of the time of the Gentiles, when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Now the thing is, Jesus never really talks about these events like they're particularly far away. Straight after declaring his coming, he says in verse 28, "Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Straighten up. Raise your heads. Now, Jesus may be talking about the redemption that would come through his death and resurrection, which certainly is drawing near. But considering everything else he's been saying, it's more fitting for it to be something else. You see, there is an urgency in this passage. He speaks of the fig tree, that when its leaves come out in leaf, you know summer is near. All of what he has said are signs of his coming, of his return. You will know the kingdom is near. Verse 32, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all this has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So the question is here, what does Jesus mean by this generation? Well, since he suggests that heaven and earth will pass away, but not this generation, and also earlier he referenced the fact that many of his followers will die, this leads us to the conclusion that the generation that he's talking about is his new covenant people who will live in light of the death and resurrection of Jesus. The generation of those who follow Christ. Jesus is promising that God's people, that the church will not pass away, that it will endure through the turmoil with his words until he returns. But the urgency, it continues in the passage, because Jesus does not want anyone to act like this isn't a reality they'll have to worry about or concern themselves with. Here, his people are to live alert and urgent lives. Verse 34, but watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. You see, in the West, we too often live lives of what I call drowsy Christianity. Going from week to week, year to year, with little consequence. No urgency. No real thought for the coming return of Jesus. And so I wonder, what would go through your head right now if the trumpet sounded and Jesus returned? Would it be, yes, I'm ready? Or would it be, oh no. There are these people that I haven't spoken to yet. There are these opportunities for witness that I didn't take. My own faith could be so much more on track. I thought I had more time. Why did I spend all of my time on these other things now as I watch the physical treasures of the world dissolve? Will the return of Jesus be a trap for you? We need to stay awake. Jesus calls us to that, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The urgency in this passage is to call us to live lives of discipleship that assume that every opportunity for witness is our last. That there is a need for disciples in this world to endure, to hold on as if Jesus is about to return, because the truth is that he could be. That we live in the permanent state of Jesus' imminent return. I'm not saying he will return tomorrow. I'm saying he is calling us to live lives of discipleship that assume that that is the case. Nothing that is happening in this world today, as dark as it may often be, is outside of the plans of our God. It's not caused by the random rolling of chaos in the world. The time we are in was told to us by Jesus. This doesn't mean it's not hard. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't mourn, but it does mean that we have hope, that Jesus will return, that there will be an end. And if we live lives of urgency in the gospel, we are given hope that the relief from this may be as soon as tomorrow. And so in the meantime, those of us who follow Jesus are called to live lives of open discipleship, lives of witness, in the knowledge that Jesus will return, and we do not plan on being trapped by that. You know, for the week of talks coming up in about 10 days' time, it's so easy for announcements at the front of church just to kind of wash over you, isn't it? It's so easy for it to kind of be a thing, oh, I'll put it in the back of my head, I'm sure I'll invite someone along later on, and then before you know it, it's here. And then in those moments, what do we do? I mean, if you're like me, you tend to have like one friend that you invite to every Christian event, because they're kind of a safe person for you. So last minute, you'll kind of find the scrumped up flyer that you have and give it to them. But what if you looked around at all of your course mates, at all of your friends, and genuinely believed that that could be your last opportunity to witness to them? Because that is what evangelism looks like in the time between Jesus going back to heaven and coming to get us again. We must be awake. Be alert. We cannot afford to be drowsy Christians because this is too important. And we can be certain of all this because everything that Jesus has said, including the fall of Jerusalem, has proven to be true. Jesus will return. The Son of Man will come in glory. The time of turmoil will end and give way to the glorious, eternal kingdom of God. Carson is going to come and pray for us now.
Our Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer as your people. Lord, we are sorry for when we are weighed down by the worries and cares of this life. You alone are our comfort and our refuge. And Lord, help us remember that heaven and earth will pass away, but your words will never pass away. Lord, thank you for your words and that we have access and the freedom to openly read it, share it, and teach it. We pray for the Nigerian church today, many of whom face persecution and often extreme violence. Lord, have mercy on them as they face unfathomable pain and suffering for their faith. But also help them to continually boldly proclaiming your name, knowing that this turmoil will one day end when Jesus returns with power and glory. Lord, help us to continually care and pray for our brothers and sisters in Nigeria and across the world, and to also bear witness to your name here in London. Thank you for our new partnership with London City Mission. We pray that as a church, we would welcome our incoming LCM missionary partners, and that we would work alongside them, being witnesses and disciples for your glory, for the extension of your kingdom among the homeless and marginalized. Lord, give us words and wisdom to proclaim the truth, and help us endure so that when suffering comes, we know, Lord, you offer us life that will never perish. Thank you, Lord, that we have confidence in this by your Son's great sacrifice and defeating of death. Lord, you are worthy of our worship and adoration, and we pray all these things in your Son's most precious name. Amen.